Happy year of the metal rat, my friends. What does that even mean? So the Lunar New Year, or Chinese New Year, has a 12 animal cycle. So every year, the animal shifts into the next progressive animal on the chart or whatever. So this year, we have just moved into the year of the rat, and rat is the first on the, if you think about it as the horoscope in Western terms, it's really easy because there's 12 Western horoscope figures and 12 Chinese, so the rat would be like Aries. It's like the first in the chart, and as the legend goes, the emperor says, okay, all the animals, if we're going to have a little race, and whoever can get past this river, oh my god, I'm yawning during an exciting race story. I don't know what's happening. Okay, so all the animals are racing to get past this river, and whoever's first gets to be the first year, and the second year, so on. So the rat is a clever little guy. And the rat and the cat are waiting by the water's edge. And they're like, oh god, we're not going to do so well with this. So they ask the ox, which is my sign, hey, can we hop on your back? And you're a really good swimmer, so I'm sure like it'd be fine if we like got on your back. You're probably going to win. And the ox is like, oh yeah, I don't care, go ahead. And so the ox actually is first to get across. But instead of honoring that, you know, the ox should be the first in line, the rat is a little asshole and pushed off the cat. And the cat immediately, like, whoosh, gets swept away by the tides of the river. Or the stream of the... It's not really tides. It's more like a stream. And that's why cats hate rats to this day. And the rat jumps right off the ox's face, and he's the first to, like, right before the ox could, like, touch land, the rat is first in line. And of course he was being a little jerk, you know, but still, because he was first in line, he gets to win. And oh my god, I don't know why I'm yawning so much. I'm so sorry. Maybe I'm not sorry. Maybe I'm gonna stand by that. I yawned. Anyway, so it was okay. I think that's an interesting part of the story because it's about getting what you want by being kind of a trickster, being a jerk, hurting people, betraying people, manipulating others, fucking over your friends. That's what the rat's about. So interesting, right? And now we've just started the new year cycle, so you would like to think of the qualities of the rat being also that they're clever and they figure out ways to get things done. But I can't help but to think of just like coyote stories where you do a trick, but it comes back and it blows up in your face. But in this case, the rat, I guess they made it happen. I mean, I don't know. What's the moral there? So, how do I feel about this year? And also like the year is like just sort of the tone of the people and like what kind of people you bring into your life, and there's so many other aspects of it, but all that I'll save for another day. So, New Year's Eve, 2020 or 2019, whatever. I'm at my friend's shop. I just opened the doors and I brought the sign out, and a couple people come in, and I get so lightheaded. I'm just like leaning over. I was in terrible pain the whole time walking to the shop. I was like felt like my joints were gonna explode. I felt like there's so much pressure all over me. And I was leaning over in the doorway, and these little bitches come in and they're like, excuse me, like I'm like taking up space. I just felt like the ugly old troll woman in the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, when there's like the stained glass animation and the prince was like, excuse me, you're get out of my doorway. And then she's like, actually, I'm a beautiful lady who's holding a single rose. But instead of that being the big reveal, what actually happened was I fell down and lost consciousness. So I fainted. And lucky me, my friend William happened to be in the neighborhood, and he had just texted me. He wanted to come by and say hello to me. So I'm just like out on the ground. Honestly, I felt it coming. I just felt like this feverish sickness, this, did I say sickness? Whatever. this feeling like your face is fuzzy and your vision sounds, your vision and your hearing, it's like your, it sounds like electricity or like a high-pitched, warm buzzing. It sounds like this sort of static sound, and it feels like static inside of you, and you're looking and everything becomes dark and like kind of, yeah, like, I don't know how old you are, whoever you may be, but back in the day when you had TV and you wanted to try to watch cable that what you didn't have, sometimes you could get a channel, but it'd be really, really staticky. So I feel like that's that kind of image is the best I could kind of explain to what it looks like. I've also had seizures that will, this is the weirdest thing, like it feels like a curtain goes down, like it just black, like a black line just starts to move down, and like a blind blinding me, like it just starts going down slowly, and then pop, there's nothing, and you're no longer you, you're a million miles away in some strange astral plane. So I was like on the ground. It wasn't that bad. There wasn't really like convulsing or anything. I just felt it coming. So last time this happened to me in Los Angeles, this has only happened twice since I've been here. I got down by losing consciousness in one snap, and my fucking head bounced off the concrete like a basketball, and I chipped a tooth and I bit through my lip, and it was horrible. So these two girls found me, and she had a dog, and the dog was being very sweet to me, and I could barely talk. I let them go into my phone because I could barely talk, but I couldn't see like at all. So, and I could barely move. So, I asked for help, and, my friend William shows up, and I'm kind of able to sit up a little bit and drink some water. And the second that I sit up, I just start vomiting on the floor, which is usually what happens after, this little phenomenon happens to me. I throw up, it's like a horrible, nauseating feeling. And, when I was a kid and I would see movies about ladies fainting, I was always like, oh, like what a cute, soft experience. Like you just fall down and take a tiny nap. Like that's so cute. But actually it feels like you're dying. And, nervous laughter feels like you're dying. it kind of does, you know, and it's one of those things where when you think about death, it sometimes feels very abstract, you know. You don't imagine it being painful necessarily. But you also, I think the scariest thing is just not being you, like your body just being like, nope, bye. And that can happen at any given moment. So I go home, I lie down. I feel like any normal part of me that could be like, haha, or just even on, was sort of reduced to just trying to hold my consciousness into my body. And my body felt like it was breaking. Like there was like my soul was a banana and my body is just the banana peel, and it was starting to just be too heavy for me to hold myself into. I don't know if that makes sense. It was just sort of like, you know, that's like scat poetry. It's just some nonsense. I don't know. But anyway, the thing is, my grandmother, who, I was very close to, and who some people in my family say I'm a lot alike, she passed away on New Year's Eve, right after the countdown. And when I came home, I was totally zonked out and so weak and so alone. And I was just in my room with a couple texts from friends that are like, are you okay? Damn. And I'm like, I'm fine. but yeah, I was just like crying bitter tears because my whole body was in pain and I was scared and just thinking about mortality. I also felt like my grandmother was visiting me somehow because she died on New Year's, and I had what felt like a near-death experience on New Year's. And when we talk about death, I think that one thing that we don't always talk about is how sudden it can be. And when people around us that we love pass away, it's deeply painful. And among so many things, it's also a reminder that we too don't know when we are going to leave the world. So the death card in tarot doesn't always mean actual mortal death. You know, sometimes it means transformation. That's what all the newbies on the block like to say. It means transformation. You know, it's cute, but people do actually die. So tarot is life, and death shouldn't be, I don't know, shrunk down into a Lego version of like what life spiritual practices could be. You know, everything isn't just like a playground ride. Well, sure it is, and it isn't, you know, like this is a reality of our existence on earth, is to come to terms with our death and the death of those we love. And actually mourning the death of loved ones, I would say, is probably Five of Cups. And that's how I interpret that card. But if you've been listening, I might have said before in previous episodes that a lot of readers have different interpretations for different cards, especially when it comes to the minor arcana. You know, there's different cards, like for example, Seven of Swords. Seven of Swords to me is a great example of Year of the Rat feelings, but to some people, it will just only represent an unfaithful partner. So for me, that's Three of Swords. But Anyway, so death comes to town, the skeleton with a big scythe, and he's on a big horse, and he kills the old king, and a new sun rises. So the old king, and I might have also mentioned this before, represents a solar figurehead, but it's in a finite circumstance. So it's the king becomes like the sun because everything revolves around them, and they get to say, you know, they get to decide. But when death kills the old king, you could see the sun rising in a new way. You're like, well, this is actual immortal power. So the immortality of the sun, knock on wood, I hope that it keeps going for a long time. And the death of the mortal solar figure, and death standing in between them is an interesting image too. Just because, you know, we don't always talk about perspective in tarot, like what's near, what's far, but just the out of reach sun. And then I want to also talk about the concept of immortality, which we see a little bit in the Wheel of Fortune. We see the Sphinx, the snake, and Anubis. And those are all figures representing mortality and immortality. So Anubis, he guards, you know, the gates to the afterlife. And if your heart is heavier than a feather, then you can't go on. You have to get squished into some kind of hell realm or something. Like you, I'm sorry, my mythology is a little rusty over here, but and then the snake can survive for a very long time, as long as it keeps shedding its skin. And the Sphinx, of course, is famous for her riddles of, and what ultimately the riddle asks of you is to be present, and to understand that we're here for a good time, not a long time. And in all of these figures, we see the need for shedding, the need for letting go, to transcend and to be present, and to have a better chance to keep going. And when we see that in the death card, the murder of the king, and the new sun rising, it's to constantly be thinking, like, what am I willing to let go of so I could keep rising, so I could live another day? What can I shed? What skin, can I let go of to keep going? And, you know, my grandmother died of cancer, and I decided I should stop smoking cigarettes, even though I did start again, and then I stopped again. It's really addictive, guys. Don't do it. Anyway, that becomes a new thing that you have to decide. Like, what do you want to let go of? What's more important, you know? Do you want to change your diet? Do you want to change the things that you take into your world to be able to let go and keep existing, keep going? So, diet is actually another good example for talking about death and immortality. When we think of an immortal, and we really think about what their experience is, like the Olympians, the Olymp not Olympians, the Olymp Olympians, I don't know, the gods that live on Mount Olympus, they only eat ambrosia salad. It's actually just ambrosia, but ambrosia salad was a perversion, an abomination, and a delight of the Greek concept of the ambrosia, which is this sustenance that is whole and complete. And I mean, there's this beautiful book called Venus, and it's written by this man who's retelling the story of Venus. And one detail that he puts in is how she's bored of eating ambrosia all the time. And it's their food that they have to eat, and it keeps them godly. And then, in the Norse world, we have these golden apples that are what gods eat, and it's you don't think about it because you're like, oh, well, that's an innate quality that you're an immortal, and you're powerful. But part of the mythology of most immortals has something to do with a really specific and strict diet. Are vampires, vampires live on and on and on, and they just drink blood. And that's very interesting because when you think about the just taking basically like blood, it's the vital essence that whatever food that you're eating just becomes your blood, or and then it separates into shit. So basically, if you're just taking the blood, you're just taking the nutrients, you're just taking the life force, and you don't have to deal with the shit, which is just so beautiful. And you see, I mean, I don't know how many of you have seen Interview with the Vampire, but you could get sick if you drink the wrong kind of blood or try to eat food if you're a vampire. I'm talking about all these metaphorical creatures and relating to I'm indifferent to like whether they're good or bad creatures, because ultimately what I'm trying to explain is, yeah, they have really strict diets, and that's part of what keeps them going on for all time. So the death card, I think, really brings attention to your actual mortality. But for me, I guess most of the cards do, because I'm scared of death, maybe, and I'm trying to make peace with it. But death, and death at the beginning of this particular year is so interesting because we've ended one cycle and we've begun a new one in the Chinese New Year, 12-year cycle. So I think that, of course, New Year's is a time where we're making these absurd declarations of like, well, I'm going to be different now. I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to start only eating cantaloupe. I'm going to start whatever stupid thing you want to do. But usually it's aimed towards empowering yourself and becoming healthier, which is a good idea, So what the aim is, not only to throw death off for as long as we can, but also to enjoy the present, enjoy the day, and just a configuration of the different components you see gallivanting about the tarot. I would say there's something in being present and letting go of baggage, letting go of the shit, that helps you, if not live longer, but live fully. So a lot of times when people want to get a tarot reading and they haven't had one before, they will say, "Are you gonna tell me I'm gonna die?" I made them sound like extra nervous, but people sometimes are really scared of that. Maybe you are not, but I've heard that many times. And I have to say, you didn't know? Like, of course you're gonna die. I didn't. It's not because I'm here telling you that. It's everyone does. And it's not like the ring where if you get the call, like if you see the tarot, then your time is numbered or whatever. Like, it's, you know that. But it's interesting to me that that's the first thing that comes to mind for so many people, is the reality of death itself. Because when they think of a mystic that could possibly tell them secrets about their life, that is in a finite term. Like, your life is one VHS, and there's a beginning, middle, and end. And to be read or to be watched by someone, Maybe you're not ready to know the whole story. And because it also takes you away from the experience of being present and willful. So if you're pulling the death card for whatever reason, no, you're not gonna, it doesn't mean you're gonna die, but yes, no shit, you're gonna die. Like, we're all gonna die. It's about really coming to terms with the reality that we're all gonna die, and that you have to consider that you own your time for a short while. So killing the old king also is the king is a often it's a symbol of old authority, yeah, sure, but also sometimes it's the idea of an external force having authority over you. So in my case, you know, trying to quit smoking, it's like, oh yeah, the cigarettes have become my boss or whatever. They're deciding how I feel and when I can go take deep breaths. So deciding how to kill that authority that I don't want to have sway over me anymore is also a way of letting the sunrise, being present in the moment, and extending my life, ideally, you know, who knows how we go. But also that's a little tip for quitting smoking, is doing a meditation to feel that you're present with yourself. And wow, my like head is shutting down, like my sinuses are like closing right now for some reason, and my lips are all chapped. I've been talking for a long time. Okay, so being present, and instead of leaning into the compulsion to feel the feeling that you have and just let that be okay, give it room to exist within you instead of trying to fight it. So we'll see how well I do. I don't know. I've quit before. And as far as death goes, the scary thing is the lights out and not knowing. And what I felt from any near-death experience is there is something there. And I could wax poetic infinitely on if that's a projection of my consciousness or hallucinations or whatever, but I feel that there is something there very much. And if you've had a near-death experience, or if you've had a seizure or have fainted and had strange visions while you were coming back too, which I also have had, that's weird. So I wanted to, you should definitely comment your experiences and share that with me. But I do want to mention this. Anytime I've had a seizure or something like that, the first one I had was when I was 13, and I was driving with my mom. Well, she was driving, I was sitting there in the passenger seat, and we got Taco Bell, and I was like, oh, what's this? A Mexican pizza? That's crazy. I'll try it. And I took one bite, and that blind experience happened where my vision just went like dark, like it just fell like a line. I was watching the traffic lights on the road, and before they changed, my consciousness got completely disappeared. And my mom had to pull the car over because I was like kicking her because I was convulsing so intensely. And yeah, that sucked. And I felt so sick and crazy and nauseated. And I heard my mom screaming my name. But for a moment, I do remember this. I was in real life thrashing around, like completely unconscious and my body convulsing. But in my head, I was at some kind of event. It was like there was a stage, like we were preparing for some kind of show about to happen, and I was talking to two guys. One had dark hair, and the other had light hair, and we were talking, and they were sitting on the edge of the stage, and I was trying to, we were just talking about, like, what we were doing and, like, how to make things happen. It wasn't especially glorious or it was like a boring hallucination. It was like, oh, cool, we're doing this. Okay, so then we're going to do this and that. We're just planning out what we were going to be doing for this setup. And then it was like from the rafters, I heard my mom screaming my name. And I'm like, what is that? And I didn't even recognize it as my name. I just heard this calling. And it sounded so loud and so freaked out. And the more I listened to it, the more I started to wake up into my body that I'm using right now. And she was like scared, and she was like, what happened? Oh my God. And when I came to, I was so nauseated, and I was like, whoa, this is a way shittier reality. Wow. And that was strange, because the dream I had wasn't a mystical, wow, crazy dream. It was just me in a different life doing some shit that was cool, I guess, but I wasn't like thrilled about it. I was just hanging out, you know, working on stuff. So that was the first seizure I had, and I had a little vision there. And there's other ones I've had in fainting or losing consciousness or seizing, where, yeah, there was something there. And sometimes it's also just being very disoriented. So you're thinking something that you're feeling or hearing is something else. And that is more in like the dream realm, but sometimes you're kind of in a different place. So I don't really know. I can't say I understand everything. I definitely have read some books, watched some videos, interested in the development of how we map the mind and strange experiences. But I gotta say, it doesn't always feel like a window into the soul and like what your secret desires or insecurities are. Sometimes it's just something totally different, you know? Anyway, I don't know how to end this podcast. I'm just gonna kill it. I'm just gonna end it right now. So death is a tarot card. It's also something that really happens to all of us, and it's something that we have to make our own terms around. But also, death to a person who is alive is only within our grasp of the culture of being alive and how we deal with death and relate to it. And not only the loss of loved ones, which is a different concept in the tarot, and I will save that for later episodes, but how we relate in our own experience to our waking life and how we are going to decide to make terms with extending that experience by being present. So it's a scary card, but don't be scared. We are going to die, and it's going to be okay. And I'm sending you love, and I'm saying goodbye. Oh, one more thing. If you like my podcast for some reason, I want to tell you about my YouTube channel. I just started doing Neon Cauldron with Elise Osborne on YouTube. And the thing I'm currently offering on YouTube is pick a card readings. So that's a type of video where you in the beginning decide which card you want, and then you skip to the time mark that is stamped below in the comments, and you get basically a choose your own adventure. So it has multiple readings within one video, and based on the card that you pick in the beginning, you could skip to that part of the video and watch your own custom general reading. So I am really happy to offer that to you. And I'll keep you updated on the things I'm doing and what's going on. And I hope that you are enjoying these experiences that I'm sharing with you. Goodbye. Thank you.